What's this? It's the underslept, overworked, YouTube-fighting, anxiety-riddled husband, father, and nerd, defeated by technology once again and strapped in with headphones to his iPad. By the way, have you seen that new iPad? Gee williger, boys. Is the world still burning and our lower middle classes still fighting over nonsense while the rich persevere? Can anyone save us? It's Willow's sleeping pad, Dada, Poet Air, and his platonic two pals.
Chaz Simons.
And Synesthetic, a.k.a. Jack Pruitt, the guy too confused, maybe a little bit lazy, doesn't know what to write.
I was just very inspired by, I mean, this book we're talking about is completely insane randomness, and it's so enjoyable, especially
beautiful.
A second read. Like, I really, really loved it the first time, but then COVID happened and kind of, like, really disrupted the middle. Like, I think we had to wait, like, 4 months for issue 7. And
far
it was
too long.
Great. And it's just, it's all this jumbled nonsense, which is it kind of makes sense at the end, but my best part kind of jumping ahead is Dr. Mantell's explanation of a type of science that is literally explaining how time works and how the book works, like how the actual story works, but also how actual time works in like a quantum physics aspect. But he's also just kind of explaining how you're reading the book is one of my favorite meta moments in the book, and there's many. We are on our Matt Fraction finale, which is exciting. It's been a fun...
I'm going to miss him. His books are hilarious.
His books are hilarious, and we could always revisit him like Ed Brubaker. He also has a lot of different stuff. He has a book called Adventure Man, which came out recently. I really liked drawn by the Dodsons and colored by the Dodsons. It's a lot of fun. That one, I will say, though, ends really abruptly. Like, I had no idea an arc was ending. And then I was like, wait, that's it? And so I'm excited for it to come back.
Coming back soon. Yeah. Just a couple weeks, I think.
Yeah, it is coming back soon. I'm glad it's come back. That was most arcs have, like, a natural ending where you feel like this end of an arc. That literally just stopped. Like, there was no resolution. I mean, she learned a little bit more about what was going on, but it didn't seem like this is the end of our story. And it was only, like, what is it, 4 issues, the first arc, I think? Like, not...
Yeah, just 4.
Yeah, pretty sure, yeah. And he usually goes 6. Like, there's some writers where you expect, like, 4, and then you get more. I'm really excited for end of the year episode. This is kind of our news section. Let's talk about... So many books are exciting me right now that are going to be in my top 15. I got, like, a good 60 now that I got to cut down to 15, which will be always fun. It's been a really good year for comics, in my opinion. Last year was good. I think this year might be a little bit better. Just kind of a wide spectrum of books. And it's made me appreciate other writers I was kind of warm on way more. Like, I'm just real hot on Zach Thompson and Lonnie Nadler now. Like, I used to think they were pretty good. I liked Undone by Blood. I loved Black Stars Above. But then I loved Lonely Receiver and I Breathe the Body. And I love Black Stars Above. So, I mean, their works together are good, but their solo works for me are real strong. And then I realized they're both from Canada. And I realize why their books are so much like David Cronenberg films, because David Cronenberg is probably like a national treasure to them. And growing up in Canada, they were probably like, Cronenberg is God, which makes a lot of sense. Real quick announcement. I know we're going to try to work out the kinks. I've talked to him, but as long as you guys are down, we could cut this part out. We should have a Halloween special with Aditya talking about Alan Moore's Providence, which I'm excited about.
So pumped. I really want to read that one. So perfect.
We got a lot of Halloween specials coming up.
Yeah, we got that. We've got our episode of Department of Truth with Elle. So I guess
Halloween's the best holiday.
We'll have the
That's true.
Two regular Halloween episodes, and then we'll also have our Pink Buzz special, which we'll also be talking about Department of Truth, which I think Elle will also be on. So you'll get to hear us talk about Department of Truth quite a lot, which is fun. I wish that their December book came out before then, because he's going into Mothman, which is exciting. Mothman's probably my favorite urban legend. Yeah, he's creepy. It's weird. And also he has to do with Indrid Cold, another urban legend. Like, some people think they're connected because they both happen in the same area. Indrid Cold is a smiling man. It's like,
there's
really
some
off
weird
topic.
Virginia, like, fucking folklore. It's almost like, feels like Eldritch Terror.
Definitely feels like Eldritch Terror. Like, if the Grinning Man, Indrid Cold, wasn't an alien, I could definitely see him being some kind of, like, Lovecraftian type creature. But I'm really excited for that news so far. I haven't seen, do you guys know any comic news that happened this week? I've been kind of really overworked and tired, so I haven't had as much time to check just comic news. I know that I mean, I saw that Zdarsky has that new miniseries coming out, but that's kind of old. Is it called Devil's Night or Devil's Due? I could look it up. This is going to be a really bad comic news portion. Devil's Night.
It doesn't have to have comic news portions all the time. There might not be.
Yeah, I think all of us have been just doing a lot over the last couple weeks. So,
yeah.
So we just cut this out and just back out.
I'd rather talk about stuff at the end, like the end, after we talk about Jimmy Olsen that we're excited for coming up as far as popular culture. Because, like, Doom Patrol starts this week. I'm fucking stoked on that season.
I'm stoked on that, too.
There's some other shit, I feel like. I
was not too stoked on Why the Last Man, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, see?
I don't think you're ever satisfied with comic shows, though, which is fair, because you can't really capture comics.
No, I like some comic book shows. The only ones I've really not liked recently are... Well, we'll say what said is I really didn't like Lock and Key. And, I mean, I liked Sweet Tooth as it was. I mean, it was different than the book, but it was enjoyable. But yeah, let's get into it. We'll just get right back into this. This is our Matt Fraction finale. I guess we'll cut out at the Halloween special before we get into that.
Yeah. We're talking Fraction finale, the final Fraction fantastic feature that we got to all enjoy. You know what I think my biggest takeaway from this whole experience has been? How much I think all of us have come away with an appreciation for Fraction's work. Like,
yes.
I don't know about y'all, but
we were talking about Fraction's. Like, man, I've really been brushing up on my mathematics since we started.
Like, yeah, not only that, but like, yeah, I forgot like how much I enjoyed. I remember liking Immortal Iron Fist. I remember really liking Invincible Iron Man, but revisiting both, incredible. Hawkeye, same exact thing. November, fucking still moved the hell out of me for sure. And then we ended it on some of his best work ever. Superman's God, Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, this worth it. I gotta agree with you, Chaz. Is like I really liked all these books when they first came out, but I didn't realize that like Jimmy Olsen and Hawkeye are probably two of my favorite big two works ever. Like they're incredibly good. Like, and I would say if you would have asked me before we recorded this episode, I would have said I liked Hawkeye more, but now I don't know. Cause Jimmy Olsen, this reread was literally so satisfying and funny. That break between COVID, I think kind of broke the momentum for me, but reading it all together again, like his take on characters is so great. Seeing the world through Jimmy Olsen's eyes, is the best way to describe this. And it's literally madness chaos. Timeline. Like it's just complete chaos. Like every three pages is a different little story. And they're also at different time periods. One, including during the gold rush, which is one of my favorites.
Yep.
With Joachim Olsen, Jimmy's great, great, great something. Joachim Olsen. Olsen, like from obviously a Nordic country. And like Batman in this book is such a dick and it's so great. And the interactions with Batman, he goes on a date with this fucking Instagram influencer and it's fucking hilarious. She's just ignoring him. She's trying to like rep some brand. And he literally just reveals his secret to her. I'm Batman. And she just goes, really? Like,
oh, you're so funny.
Yeah, no, not really.
there's also the scene where Batman does indeed confirm he is hilarious by putting in one of the Steve Martin arrows through the head headbands on.
Yes, that is great. And then there's a moment where he's taking a shit at his job and he's listening to his employees that it's revealed that Alfred's been paying them to laugh at his jokes. Yep. Another great moment. And then he just kind of treats Alfred like dog
shit. That was hilarious.
And like most things, makes him wear shirts, tells him to get away. I do have a question on those finger foods because they looked like little dicks to me. Did anyone else notice that?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, the finger foods.
Not to say that Alfred without a sense of hilarity, though.
Oh, yeah. Alfred's
probably funnier.
Yeah.
Not really. We don't really get to see that, but
the best part, the way that you described it, that every couple of pages feels like a new piece of this bigger puzzle. This to me is like the richness of a story like Watchmen. And this is going to be a real hot take, listeners. But this to me is like the comedy equivalent of Watchmen as far as like depth, scope, love of like comics, but that exploration about what makes the character of Jimmy Olsen so perfect and like real for the DC universe. You know what I mean? And it's so fucking densely layered with its humor. It's so great.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an...
It's kind of got the, like you were saying before we recorded recently, you were saying that it's got like the Tina Fey 30 Rock approach where they're like, okay, let's just throw 10 jokes every minute. Or it's not every minute. It's like, I can't remember what it was.
No, but it's like 7 jokes a minute.
It's like 7 jokes a minute or whatever. And so it's like, see what sticks and what doesn't. And we're just going to keep shooting off zingers, you know, and there's so many good ones. It's almost hard to remember. Like, I had to, I took so many screenshots thinking of, like, what am I going to talk about? Is that there's just too much. I loved when he goes to interview Superman and Superman just being a super derp. He's like, I invented dodecahedrons, which makes no sense because they've been around since ancient time. And he's like,
look at my thumb. He's like cuddling it's super a cat. Bendy or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's totally. Like, yeah, that could be a
double joints.
Super close up magic. It's like,
when I put my glasses on, no one recognizes me.
There's a scene where he winks at the audience, Superman does, and in his Clark Kent disguise. It's literally the moment where, like, an episode or a Jimmy Olsen book from the 70s would have ended, and then you turn the page, and he's still standing there, like, he's in freeze frame, and everybody around Superman, around Clark Kent in that moment is just like, all right, I'll see you later, weirdo. It's so good.
It's just so good.
So many
he winks right next to Leon. Like, it's weird to so many of Bendis's run are in this, but handled on a completely different night.
I think one of the best jokes in there, and this will kind of lead me into talking about the actual story, is I loved when he was doing like his prank show once he moved to Gotham.
He puts a literal
revolving door on Arkham Asylum.
Yes.
That's the best shit ever.
Yeah.
Timmy Olsen is fantastic.
Okay, irresponsible blogger. 1 minute breakdown.
Yeah.
So it starts with Jimmy Olsen doing a charity event where he's supposed to get some Superman DNA put in him so he can grant a child's wish of dropping down from orbit without a parachute. And instead, he gets switched up with some lizard DNA and turns into a big-ass lizard turtle thing and crashes into the Luther's giant lion statue, which is like a huge source of income for the city. But Luther wants it taken down so he can build this tunnel system to take control. It's a train system to take control of all the power and water in Gotham, and that's what's, or not Gotham, in Metropolis, and that's what's standing in the way. And so then we unravel this mystery. It kind of reminds me of Hawkeye in the way that he's kind of just like a normal dude, not really, but like, you know, his life is like in a rhythm, and then all of a sudden things start to just spiral out of control and get worse and worse, and it's hard to even figure out what's going on almost, but like eventually the story unravels itself.
Definitely. I would say the main plot, like, motivator is that someone's trying to kill Jimmy Olsen, which kind of makes him go all over the place.
Then his assassination clone
kill Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, we can't not talk about Jimmy Olsen's assassination double.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say I definitely want to talk about the assassin Nathan guy, but
For listeners,
there, I did a very large air quote with my voice as far as kill Jimmy Olsen, because he is dead, and Timmy Olsen, the irresponsible blogger, has taken his place, and he is undercover in the worst way possible, famously on the front page of the Daily Planet, the only source of income they've got.
They were going to fire
Prince mystery. Out of style.
Yeah. They were going to fire Jimmy because of all the mayhem he caused and about Luther's lion, but then they realized he's the only income that the fucking newspaper gets from his blogging on YouTube.
Yep. Pretty funny moment. And introduces one of my favorite sort of C-tier characters, IT Mike.
Oh, yeah. IT Mike is fantastic.
The Daily Planet this, IT Mike.
Yeah.
But he's referred to exclusively as IT Mike throughout the story. I love it.
He's great. sticking this up is for
full with so many great little characters. And we even get like little stories of each character, like assassinate like Dave Diamond, some that are literally in it just for a few seconds.
That's the other we gotta talk about the Porcadillo.
That's what I was gonna say. We gotta talk about Porcadillo. That we can have a whole conversation or about
the Annihilator Junior.
He's the best. Yeah. That kind of leads from where we have his assassination attempt. They don't know who the assassin is. And so we're kind of trying to figure that out. And all signs point to Lex, but there's such good foreshadowing that you know there's something deeper there. I don't know if we want to spoil that or not. But this whole conspiracy, he has what he calls a crazy
board, which is great. Oh, what happened?
D-board in his room in Gotham. Lois Lane comes out and is pretty much just like, yep, that's a crazy board. You're crazy. It's not what
she calls it something else originally, which I can't remember. She gives it like the term of what it's called. And then, you know, when she hears his later brand, that's when she says it's a crazy board. Yeah.
He also prevents her from vaping.
Yes, he does.
For teens, Miss Lane. Teens.
She tries to smoke first, and then she tries to vape. He stops the smoking, then the vaping.
I love the landlord. The landlord in Gotham is great. He's like, coins! Okay, you want to turn your light. You want to close the coitons because you'll get bats.
Coitons.
And you'll probably get moited, in which case I get all your stuff.
No stabbing and no pets. Why stabbing?
No blood on the walls.
This guy, too. No guests after six. No more. I love when Jimmy's in trouble later and the coitons get pulled down and the guy is just completely eviscerated by bats. Yes. Oh, no, the coitons! And the bats just flood in. The Timmy Olsen section, like this section of the book, is so funny when he's in Gotham Central. I mean, it's so dark, so good. But literally one of my favorite... Oh, I mean, part is so dark. One of my favorite parts, though, is the part where he's... I haven't pulled up. That is snap. My favorite part. Where you got calendar mangled when it's just this guy talking about who makes like novelty huge things, kind of like Batman's huge coins. So he digs small objects and makes them huge. And he was supposed to make a huge calendar for Calendar Man, which ended up his whole family, including his wife, his daughter, and his dog, got murdered by Calendar Man. And he's just telling this terrible story. He also lost his job. And then Jimmy, as Timmy, just turns around and goes, dang.
Yeah.
The little buzzword comes up. Yeah, goes, you got Calendar Man. His expression.
Him and Batman are in a huge prank war. Which leads to kind of like
how many
some
jokers
plot points
at the
almost
pagoda until Batman notices.
Batman like gives him
like
a blue
17.
cat. Batman like gives him a box with a blue cat in it and red paint flies everywhere, and it almost gave me the vibe of like a Schrodinger's cat thing. But anyway,
that's a red lantern.
Yeah, that's Dexter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Who has
the prequel is actually with
one
him.
Of the best and saddest stories, I think, as far as origin goes, I've ever read. It brings me to tears every fucking time. And I read that Green Lantern run like once a year. Easy.
Okay, so he ends up
has a good run.
And then it ends up that it was so a spaceship just crashes into his apartment with no explanation. And
there's that explanation before too. You see Jix leave, she's trying to have her marriage. And before this in Leviathan Rising, which we didn't read because it was something I read a long time ago, there's a little intro to the series which has Jix and Jimmy at their honeymoon.
Yeah,
that's when Dexter comes.
The trade. That's my biggest complaint about this book, I think, is that it didn't get a deluxe hardcover yet.
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons I didn't get it, because it's just the paperback, and the paperback itself is like $30. So
worth it.
It's definitely worth it. It's a great book.
Yeah. I got it, and I had all the issues anyways.
And then I just got DC Infinite because I was like, it's the same as Marvel Unlimited. And they put new books on there, which is crazy, which I just discovered today. They put like brand new books, which is nuts. I don't know why they would do that. But. Yeah.
So, okay, real fast. I know that you said Dr. Mantell is one of your favorites, Michael. Jack, what was your favorite like BC character in Jimmy's life?
Oh yeah, man, they're all so good. Shit, I didn't even think to rank them.
That's okay. I loved his landlord.
The landlord, I guess. Yeah.
Mr. Lynch. Yes. Ed Lynch is great. He's one of my favorites as well.
Or you have the right to remain. Is he a B character?
The Arma.
Porkadillo.
Porkadillo. Yeah. Is Porkadillo a B character? I loved Porkadillo.
He has one of the best what life he wanted to have stories, I think, when he visits his dad and granddad in prison. And it cuts to the like 1990s Vertigo Porcadillo, his only begotten son scene. That just that page brings me to fucking like almost on the floor laughter every time I get to it. It's so choice.
Porcadillo's the highlight.
Nathan Guy. He's a real bright spot right about the middle of the book. And he's the man who killed our hero. But he really takes the time to look around and appreciate the beauty in the world. Get back together with his wife and kids, and then ends up dead by his own hand. And one of the other funniest exchanges, with Lex, and he's doing the suicide bill, and he's watching him die. And then Lex is just like, "What's ew, gross? It's so good."
I just love that him murdering some random kid that he didn't know is what inspired him to stop murdering and get back with his family and make a better life for himself. And then he cyanides himself.
Trust your instincts. Rough. Dang it, Nathan. You're good at this and you know it. Let yourself be the star you are.
Am I wrong in that saying that Miss Tessmacher was a Richard Donner creation and then she's in this book? Or is that right?
She got moved into the comics from the Richard Donner stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, you're right. But yeah, she's got a great role.
Yes, she does. And it really gives Lex that kind of, you know, he's definitely, if any, Lex is channeling that great Gene Hackman energy from the Superman films. It's Lex Luthor in this book who is, you know, funny, not as evil as he looks. I mean, he's even trying to protect Jimmy, even if it's for selfish reasons. But it's not the Lex you usually see. I will say without spoiling it, I knew who the villain was the first time I read this. I had a guess, and now
great foreshadowing.
There's great foreshadowing in like the very first issue,
the dance scene in the big.
It's always in the back of your head.
My favorite.
Yeah.
Full blown Godfather, but also every time they do stuff like this, where Steve Lieber changes the like style of the art to fit like a different version of it, like. Where he looks like Tintin, or he looks like the Lizard Man, or whatever. Or they go into right on the next page, the whole Little Olsen's saga.
Oh my god!
In that like Peanuts, Calvin and Hobbes style is like
so many cliches so from the Peanuts.
One of my favorite,
but it's
Little
so
Olsen's
it's
when they
so
play
loving.
Hide and seek.
You know what I mean?
No,
like,
yeah,
that's the thing.
That's
is,
the
like,
whole point.
As like irreverent as this book is, you could tell like how much love there is for the like history of everything weird about the DC universe, everything like
totally
fun and pure about it, like it's just so good.
It really captures the fun, like the why this was like this was your number two last year, right? Was it number two or number one? Mm-hmm. I know it was this and Seven Secrets. Yeah,
it
this,
was really close.
Yeah this captures the fun part of comics, like when I jokingly say and do interviews that I, you know, love comics, don't distract me from, you know, the awful reality of our existence and the planet. This is like the main distraction. Like now that I read, this is such an escape. So is Hawkeye and a lot of Faction's work. To like, this is a wonderful feeling of just look at all these zany characters doing zany things. Seeing Jimmy introduced so many different ways. Like my crazy intro in the beginning, those intros are a complete delight to me. That every three pages we get a new intro.
Oh my god! Yeah, and they're all
B characters or
exactly.
Jimmy. Yeah,
and they all look like covers to the original Jimmy Olsen series. They all look like the first page of every one of those. It's incredible.
I was going to mention earlier, and there's so much fun stuff to talk about that it totally got, I totally didn't get to say it. I love that him and the international jewel thief that crashes a UFO into his house, they just got like Vegas married on Ape Planet or Gorilla Planet.
Yeah.
Gorilla City. Yeah.
Gorilla City. That's it. And
that's
he just loves Gorilla City.
There's a great throwaway joke in in their like reveal scene at the beginning, like in the Event Leviathan one, when it shows the night before where he's given his like reading at the bookshop, the bee fell off on the bookshop wall, so it just says Ookshop. It's so perfect for Gorilla City. It made me like, it's just that love little it. Snuck in background joke that's so choice.
I was gonna say real fast.
We didn't talk about it on the Hawkeye episode because we were doing the same thing where we were gushing about how good Hawkeye was. But Hawkeye has an issue that has a similar framework, I would say, to the entirety of Jimmy Olsen. And it's the one where each of his partners is investigating the woman. And it has to do with the comic books that she leaves and the safe.
Yeah.
And every one of those had that scene where it was like, the work partner or the work wife, and it was like an old classic cover, and then it showed whatever Black Widow was doing, and then it was like the ex-wife, and it was like same beat, same cool setup, same pitch, same premise, and then we get that, like you said, every three pages it's almost like reminding us what we're doing, what we're reading, and giving us there are times where people say like, I want to look at a comic, don't use a bunch of words, right, show me in pictures. But this is so words benefit it so much. There's no extra fluff, even though it feels like it could have. Some people would look at it and say it could be trimmed, but they need to read it to see that every line is like so well thought.
Definitely, and they all for me, most, like you say, seven jokes a minute, most of them land. Like, it's so hard to even streamline this to talk about everything that made me laugh my ass off in this book. It's very strange that Metamorpho is in it helping him with this assassination decoy for no reason.
They're like best friends. You know what I mean? Like, yes. I feel so bad for Metamorpho because he goes around saying like, I'm Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. But like, Metamorpho is there to be the underwear when he turns into like a huge dude. Yeah. You know, like,
that was so funny to me.
He moves his body decoy double into his apartment, and then when he gets shot, he's like, you're dead. And Jimmy's like, no, I'm not dead, it's a decoy. And he's like, I know, I mean, somebody killed you. And he's like, no, you don't get it, Rex, I'm alive, I'm right here. And it's just it's so good.
I love when he is at his own funeral and he has kind of like a German. I love when he first moves to Gotham and has his own funeral. He has that kind of German looking outfit on. He almost looks, dare I say it, like a Nazi. And he's in like German leather wear with the mustache. And I just love, like, another scene I love is just when he goes with the grave digger and says he's going to help him dig his own grave. And he just speaks out loud and talks about how he has to become Jimmy Olsen and then walks away with the guy's only shuffle after taking one scoop.
He does one scoop.
I like that the guy gives him the shovel and he says, it ain't like anybody from the unions out here tonight. Like, I could get him a lot of trouble.
So much good stuff in these.
Yeah, the one of my favorite Batman.
The story's good too.
Besides that date, the story's great. I mean,
yeah,
the story is
not
really
just
great.
The jokes.
I mean,
yeah.
The whole
I love all the Kevins.
Captivating, enjoyable. Yes.
Another
great Batman scene for me is when him and Superman are both there and they're on the rooftop. And Batman's whole speech of being like, first of all, they're fighting about the toy war, which they're arguing about. And then Jimmy's kind of sitting on the sideline and Batman's, this is a war. And in a war, you're either a soldier or the enemy. Are you my enemy? And just hits Jimmy Olsen and then like glides up. And Superman's just sitting there befuddled. And he's just kind of like, he's pretty messed up, I guess. Things about Batman.
Oh, my God.
The story itself is good, and kind of getting the core of what's going on and why someone's trying to kill Jimmy is great. And I love when Mantell and the UFO and Jinx are all in there kind of the end to kind of get to the end of our story. But I love also his gothy sister who is doing plays in Gotham, like his New York. Another great character. All the characters in this are great. But I will spoiler now because we're more into the story. I did know it was Julian early on. Did you guys both know as well?
Yeah.
I had a strong suspicion, but then I thought, it would be kind of funny if it was Lex, and like,
yeah,
it would go to show that like Lex in a way is like more incompetent than we have always suspected, right? Like, yeah. even though Jimmy Olsen is Superman's pal, he is like incapable of killing him on his own, and I thought that would be kind of funny. But I kind of like that there's the big familial turn. And like I said, the scene where they're he sneaks in and drag, and then they're dancing, and then he gives them the Godfather.
Oh my god, yeah.
So good. I also like when they go to the casino night, when he confronts Lex, and Lex tells him essentially what you've just revealed, but he takes off the wetsuit and has the tux on under it like a spy. And then when he leaves, he takes off the suit and has a wetsuit on under that.
It's so funny. So good.
The irreverentness of this book is why it lands so hard. All the Jimmy and Lex scenes are great too. I like when I now realize why he was dressed like that, so he could act like he was a helicopter pilot for Lex. Thinking about one of my favorite scenes is when he confronts Lex earlier in the book, and then literally jumps out of a helicopter with a parachute, leaving Lex to possibly die.
Well, he knows he's smart enough to fly a helicopter. He could build a robot battle suit.
That's true, but just imagine being in that situation in real life. I mean, I know this isn't the real world. It's definitely in a comic heightened situation, but I can only imagine jumping towards the controls of a helicopter. I have a friends that are helicopter engineers, and they told me to never get in a helicopter. They're the most dangerous things in the air, and you risk your life every time even stepping into a helicopter. Like
Superman would have saved him.
Superman,
not Jimmy. Yeah, would have saved Lex, him. And then Lex would have been super mad at him. But yeah, no, it's got a really good heart to it. Do you know what's I think really interesting too? Is that there's like the underlying trauma of what it is to be Jimmy Olsen. Like as much as this book is a love letter to the weird 60s, 70s silver age of Jimmy being the science experiment mutated person of Superman's misadventures or whatever, there are a lot of like human moments of trauma where he's like a photojournalist in a war zone. You know what I mean? Like he's going to report for the planet in all these really dangerous situations where he's trying to like save people where he can. He's trying to save everyone close to him, everything in the whole like universe in this book. But you get to see a lot of that heart that is hiding under the humor. I think it's a lot like Hawkeye, like we've said already, but Hawkeye has a lot of that same humor, but then you see like the human underneath, you know?
Yeah.
He's trying to hide that like pain, I guess, by like being strong for everybody else, you know? What are you going to do if you're Superman's best friend? Go to him and tell him how much your life sucks because you're his friend? Like, no. You just got to roll with it. That's kind of what Jimmy does.
I mean, yeah, he definitely rolls with everything. I love the scenes where it's just all the hijinks he gets into and they just escalate when you're seeing all of them. Very, very entertaining, which has one of the ones where he's like, you know, wartime photojournalist, but also has him like as a horse with Superman, which maybe is a real issue from the 60s. And getting followed
I
by
love
people
too the mummy
eyes.
Ones.
Yeah, the mummies.
Yeah, there's just a picture of everyone as mummies with googly eyes. He's like a selfie, and then later they show the same selfie, but he's the mummy with googly eyes, and they're all normal.
When he's just running from a Marlboro truck, like it literally looks like it's about to smash on and it's flying up. So much good. When he's literally falling to Earth with Lex Luthor and holding an oxygen mask over Lex's face while they plummet to the Earth from space. Or no, I don't know if it's an oxygen mask. But no, his hand is... Oh, it's not actually Lex. I did not look at that right. I think it's Brainiac? He's ripping off like a flesh face.
Yeah.
And a robot under and falling to Earth. Yeah. And tusk eating pie eating contest, just so much good stuff. And then him just showering and pink stuff, showering to get like decontaminated while Superman's looking. And then him literally just the shit beat out of him, and then getting whistled to by like horny creepy wolf.
So yeah, kind of our climax to this that we've totally skipped around and talked about before and after, kind of his international jewel thief Vegas wedding wife. They're trying to get divorced. Sorry, there's a lot of background noise. I'm gonna restart. Okay, so we find out that his his so we find out his wife, the international or intergalactic jewel thief, or interdimensional, one of those, has a giant angry red gorilla dude trying to marry her and wants to kill Jimmy Olsen to do it. And he has a legion of these floating little robots that are all named Kevin and are really stupid and not very good at fighting.
You know, like those other robots from that real popular British sci-fi show that are
exactly
totally they murderous but can't very, go upstairs.
Yes.
They're very similar to them in design.
Yeah. He can't marry Jinx until they get divorced from life.
Yeah, so he has to bring all of his friends together, put on Metamorphos as a suit, and fight a giant gorilla. And that's the climax, and then we figure out what's going on with his assassination attempt in the next last issue of the series.
And in between, we get all sorts of moments of heart, humor, humanity. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful book. So where do we go from here?
I was going to say, I want to point out, I just sent y'all a picture of one of the funnier things that I remember seeing in there. And it's you might have seen him in the Suicide Squad movie that just recently came out in theaters, but the Total Dismemberment Kid, otherwise known as Arm Fall Off Boy, you get to meet the whole Arm Fall Off family in this. There's the Butt Falls Off Jima, I think.
Yeah.
Jima Jim Jim. We got the new Step Grandpa, Step Jipa, I think was the guy's name. Darn it, I didn't take a big enough picture. But the whole bit of that joke is not just the hilarity of a whole limbs fall off family, but there's the bottom part. They have a local expert, the assistance of professionals from the local intimacy boutique, the Snuggler's Grotto. And it's Swamp Thing in a t-shirt and bike shorts.
Yeah.
The t-shirt says cuddle time. It's just like, I don't know how much of this must have been in the script. Like, oh, and also this gets drawn. But like, if it wasn't, like, Steve Lieber is just as fucking funny as Matt Fraction for sure. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that dude is adding stuff like that.
And there's so many visual gags that I feel like must have been added in after.
Yeah. Lieber did Superior Foes of Spider-Man, right?
I believe so. Let me double check.
That one I read after it was done. When it was coming out, I didn't care for it. I think it was more the vibe of like just seeing villains struggle and not be the best is like, I could watch Spider-Man beat their ass and know that they're not the best, you know? So I didn't want to see like their perspective on it, but then I read it after it was all done, like the full series and trade. That shit was so funny, and I felt like such an idiot for sleeping on it.
Yeah, that is Steve Lieber for sure. And I have never read that, but now you're making me want to read this. And
it's funny, man. It's good, Spencer.
Yeah. Good Spencer is good. You know, I really off topic is I cannot get into the book. I don't want to literally diss an artist, so I'm not going to say their name, but there's an artist on a, I'll even be like mysterious about the book. There's a book that got Spencer really popular. That was an indie book that everyone was really into. And it's on Comixology, the whole series. So I downloaded it and was like, I'm going to read this. And I already had issues with the artists and other books they've drawn. And I was like, I really don't like their art. Let me give it a try. I got 3 pages in and had to stop reading the book. Maybe I should give it more of a try because a lot of people have told me it's really good.
No, it's not. I know which one you're talking about already. Don't waste your time.
Okay, it's not good. And it just never ends, right? Doesn't it just
It's just
stop
really frustrating. Yeah. You know when a book promises you, so you like, here's a big mystery, and then you're like, I'm engaged with this premise. I would like to see it through. And then part of the way in, they say, but that's not the mystery. This is the mystery. And then you go, all right, I'll take a side mystery with my main course of mystery. But then they keep doing that forever, and they never resolve any of them. And then you think, well, eventually, well, at least I shouldn't say, and then I thought eventually they were just setting up all of these mystery dominoes. And then when one would fall, the rest of it would snap into place. And then the book stopped and hasn't come out for like 7 years, I feel like. So don't do it. Read the fix instead. It's like if Jimmy Olsen was actually criminal and didn't have superheroes. No, yeah. Jimmy Olsen by way of criminal and no superheroes. Ooh, or Bedlam. The first arc, I think that was Spencer. The first arc of a book called Bedlam had Riley Rossmo art, and it was the idea of like a supervillain like the Joker getting the part of his brain cut out that was bad by a mad scientist and rehabilitated. And then he helps the police catch like killers like himself. So it was almost like Hannibal-ish.
Hannibal, yeah.
Yeah, but like weirder and gruesomer because of the like sort of dirty Rossmo look that I love. So
yeah, Rossmo's great. Fun.
So yeah, the opposite of that is Spencer.
This was on a lot of number ones lists last year. It was John Lee's, who's an art writer I love, and I love his newsletter. It was his favorite book of last year. I can see why now it's high on your list, Chaz. It's actually on a lot of top lists, so I'm glad it got so much recognition. I do have a question, because you might know more than me, Chaz. Did this sell well?
It did okay.
Okay.
It was, I would say, bigger than Lois Lane that started around the same time.
Yeah.
Or at least, yeah, not Superman level, but not terrible. Superman level isn't always that good either. It depends on where you are, but most of the time Superman is like mid-tier as far as sales. So this was like, yeah, it probably wasn't great, but as far as sales go, but it was okay.
Yeah, that's always good. I'm
just missing out, man.
I'm excited to see it get hopefully a hardcover release, which would definitely make me want to get it. I might even just get the trade eventually because it's just the best way to read it. I'll
probably triple dip. If they come out with a hardcover, I'm probably just going to end up buying that too.
I understand. I do the triple dips too sometimes. I do the double dips and triple dips a lot and just don't let my wife know. And she usually cannot tell us. And
I'm about to just do it soon.
What do you?
Absolute Multiversity. Oh, seen that shit solicited?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I cannot wait for that.
That's going to be awesome. I can't wait to talk about Multiversity either. And Nameless. I'll say Abra Morrison miniseries that's approaching. A lot of books we could talk about. I know I definitely want to talk about Multiversity and Nameless.
I want to talk about We Three and Sea
Guy.
We Three
also.
I don't know that we can talk about Sea Guy. I mean, we should, because it's funny as hell. And it's like the artist, hero's journey. And it's super wild. And then the second miniseries got real nuts.
Can we just avoid the artist?
I mean, well, talking about it, yeah.
This is not bringing the artist up.
I want a Final Crisis. That shit is incredible. But We Three would be good.
We Three would be great.
Seven Soldiers deserves like a miniseries of its own to break down.
Yeah, I really want to read that. So I almost wanted to put that on because I still haven't got that, and it's an excuse for me to get the Omnibus.
Or this would definitely be one of the Marvel ones. That Jay Lee Fantastic Four, the 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, yeah, that's great. I have that as well. The Filth I love as well. It's really cheap right now too, Jack. If you want to get it, like it's like 600 pages for $12 on Amazon. So nice. It's a pretty damn good deal. And it's a great book.
That's so weird.
It's so weird. I do worry with like Jack. You do read a lot digital sometimes, and not how you read. I'm wondering because like Nameless. I know we're going off into Morrison tangent now. Nameless, you really need like the trade has like, I mean, you can get it maybe the first time reading it. It definitely is Nameless, a book you have to read multiple times, but Grant does like a great outro, like epilogue where he explains every chapter and like what his influences were and what's going on in the story that really help you kind of connect the dots of what you've been witnessing, which is extremely helpful. I love that book, but the first time I finished it, it helped so much more getting that excerpt when the trade came out because like you notice the Dream Machine. I don't know if you read Nameless, Chaz, but that Dream Machine, I did not notice at all until after Grant pointed it out. And I'm like, oh, I still think I only kind of understand what happens in that book, but I love it. I can't talk about it more without spoiling it, but I still feel like I only understand. I think I understand what's going on. I'll bring it up when we're no longer recording. But Morrison, I'm excited for. We got Waters and Pacnadel coming up soon, and they're both coming on the show, which I'm excited about. I'm getting real hot on that Arkham City. Those teases that Deitcha and Dan have been doing. My God, that book looks great. Like 10 fingers and all the weird characters. And it's getting a lot of heat from even like my buddy who just collects comics. Richie's like excited because it's got five first appearances in the first issue.
Easily. Yeah.
Yeah. I know Mark's excited about it. It was weird. Mark, you know, from the comic shop was talking about Dan Waters. And I told him he was coming on our show. And he's like, you guys have a podcast? And I was like, yeah. We could get Mark now as a listener. Yeah. But
he's got to figure out how to use a computer first.
Oh, yeah. It's
That fool was still on a flip phone as of like 3 months ago.
Did he even know what a podcast was when I told him? Do you think he knew, or you just agree with me?
He probably knows it's like radio, but like he probably doesn't know how to get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's funny because like I told him about Dan Waters and Ron V only because that was like the only time he's seen me there for years. I'd show up to like do the morning variants was for their books. And then it's funny that he comes up and is like, you excited about the new Waters book? And I was like, wow, did Mark actually listen to me and read some Dan Waters? That's cool.
Yeah.
It's like, because he's like mostly big too. It's cool that he got an event. Dip his toes in some weirder stuff.
Yeah, he does some indie stuff, but I don't know that he reads it as much. You know what I mean? I feel like he buys a lot, so I don't know what always is like what he gets to.
Real nervous in the morning lines. This is off topic, but also on topic because we talk about vaccination. Is that Gooch has been real coffee and spitty, and like everyone's avoiding him in the line. And I just don't want to be rude, but there's no way that guy got vaccinated. There's just no way.
Yeah.
There's just no way. He just seems like a person that would never get vaccinated, like if his life depended on it. And now like every time he gets in line, like you see me and like five other people back up from like 6 feet and have our masks on, like, oh no.
Yep.
Hopefully it sounds better today, tomorrow, because it's been a couple weeks that maybe if he does have COVID, the contagious part of coughing is over.
Hopefully.
Deep fear every time he approaches the line, every time I'm waiting. Deep fear. Well, yes.
Everyone can get more vaccination shots now.
My whole thing is I don't want to get it all because I have a baby that can't be vaccinated. So that's my fear of people not getting vaccinated. It's I have a baby
definitely
not be vaccinated. So those fuckers are risking my whole life. Like, and it really makes me think they're irresponsible piece of shit. But to each their own. Yeah. If you don't want to get vaccinated, then fuck
don't come
off.
Around
like,
me.
No, I'm not okay with it because I have a baby. Fuck you. I'm sorry. If you're listening to your podcast and get vaccinated, fuck you. Like, yeah, you're literally vaccinated. Not helping society. Go get fucking vaccinated. Jesus Christ. Vaccinations are not bad. They've been good forever. You listen to Jenny McCarthy? Get some real fucking facts, my friend. Get vaccinated. And if you say, I'll stop my tangent again about the testing thing is what stupid people say. I feel bad. My wife's family member, he's young and he didn't want to get it because it hasn't been tested and he has COVID now. And is around the rest of his family and a lot of them didn't get vaccinated. So, I mean, this is just, you know, and then like 99.8% of hospitalizations from COVID are all unvaccinated people. So, I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't get vaccinated. Yeah. That's 0.2%, 0.002% of people that are vaccinated. Why would you not get vaccinated?
Ivermectin. There was like a prison in some
what?
And you know, ivermectin, it's like a horse.
I don't know what that is.
People are taking it to because they think that it's like prevents COVID when there's actually no facts proving that.
Yeah, I think the fact is proving that it does not.
I don't know what that is.
There's all kinds of information saying that it does nothing against COVID, but people are taking it and like it's like 30% of poison control calls or whatever are from people taking ivermectin.
That is crazy.
This is America.
Fucking nuts. No idea why
that people are is absolutely crazy. Do you want to talk about stuff we're excited right now? There's a lot of books I've been excited about and reading about or books that are coming out. I have a few if you guys want to jump. And after, right now I'm enjoying a lot of books. Not All Robots and Fight Girls, which I think that was before the recording, I'm really enjoying. I'm really, really enjoying. It's a new book called Eat the Rich. The second issue comes out tomorrow. I really thought that first issue was solid, and I'm really intrigued because I didn't know any of the creative team. So I'm always really excited when I get a book and I don't know anyone on it, and I just really love that first issue. Excited to see how the second issue goes. I'm really excited for the I Breathe the Body trade that comes out tomorrow. That's definitely one of my favorite books of the year. It's so weird and so such about like the times and social media, but also just the complete David Cronenberg horror picture, body horror pick. And I'm really excited for more Deformed of Truth and Nice House on the Lake. I love the latest issue of Nice House on the Lake. I don't know if you're cut up, Chaz, but that latest revelation. And David, the comedian, is such a great character. And just him seeing like you can get whatever you request. And him going buck wild with that, getting a monkey in a spacesuit, getting getting all sorts of different shit in his room, and then like leading him to a dark and crazy revelation, because he kind of, I love that he's the one that everyone doesn't think is that smart, but he's the one that realizes they're not where they think they are, and nothing's what it seems, because, you know, they, none of them can actually remember how they got to the lake house. That the guy you would think is the least smart is actually the one that's catching on all the other shit that's happening while everyone else is kind of ignoring it. So far, David, the comedian, and Sam, the reporter, have been the ones to actually break into more of what the fuck is actually going on, or there's other people just trying to ignore it to keep their sanity. I'm assuming nothing is what it seems. Yeah. And then Primordial, I will say I really enjoyed the first issue. I was really kind of didn't know if I was going to like it, since the premise didn't really grab out at me, but I really liked the first issue, which reunites Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino from Gideon Falls. It was a really weird first issue set in an alternate universe, much like Gideon Falls. Very curious if it's going to be connected to Gideon Falls, because it's clearly an alternate universe. And I'm excited to, I'm about to start Ether, a book Chaz recommended, and I got that library edition. I'm going to start it tonight. It looks great. And I love Matt Kent, so I'm excited to get into that.
I've just been getting caught up. I've been a little behind on all my reading, but I have Primordial in my stack. I'm looking forward to that. I still got to read the new Six Sidekicks of Trigger Keaton. That's always at the bottom. But I did jump ahead a little bit. I had my dessert before my meal. Earlier, I finished Rorschach, and that was
that was quite the ride.
Yeah, that was really good.
I forgot. That's a contender for me now. Best year. That was such a good story.
Yeah, that one's up there for sure. And then I got the new Jason collection that I got to check out still, too. That's probably like what I'm most excited for. I just love
it. Oh, yeah, that looks awesome. Good night, him.
Yeah, it's really good. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited for a lot of stuff coming up. I got a lot of really cool trades coming in the next couple of weeks. Also, some cool hardcover collections. At least they should be. There's one, I think, in the next like 2 weeks from Fantagraphics called Through the Heart of It, New York, New York. And it unfolds into a 30-foot panoramic.
That's incredible. I'm glad you're telling me about this.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. So
I'm really excited about Dug Dog's Bite, even though it keeps on getting moved back.
Pushback. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth
it. Don't know why.
You'll dig it.
I know. I'm sure I will. I'm really excited like, for, you know,
Lady Bird meets here,
Tyler Boss Rules.
Yeah.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
And then, Jack, you want to add anything? I know your music's still out. Feral Kid's out now. Any cool music or anything cool you've watched recently?
Give us a cool
watch. Dude, honestly, I've just been so busy working on like music projects. I haven't really had time to do much watching or reading of anything.
I cannot believe I was going to not bring this up. Have you motherfuckers seen Malignant?
No, not yet. No.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's definitely a movie where you're either going to, like, I kind of wanted to spoil it for you right now because it's the most insane thing I've ever seen a major studio produce ever. Like, this is straight up basket cake, kick and looter kind of fucking movie made in the 80s that somehow James Wan got God knows how much money to make for Warner Brothers, which I can only assume he was laughing his ass off the entire time he made the movie.
$40 million budget.
$40 million?
Yeah.
Wow. It was written by him and his wife, and his wife plays a medical tech in the movie, hilariously. And it is, my wife did not like it as much as me. I was all about it. It has a twist that is literally the most insane thing you'll ever see. And it has the craziest fight scenes you'll ever see, which definitely involves some kind of acrobatics. I wouldn't even call it a horror movie. I mean, there's horrifying parts of it, but... I really just want to spoil it. Can I spoil it? I think you guys will probably be more interested in watching it after I spoil it. Okay, so the whole movie starts out like it's kind of a ghost story. There's this character, and she's got an abusive boyfriend. He hits her in the head in the beginning, and then you see this like monster killer boyfriend. It's like a shadow creature, and it's going around. It's kidnapping people and, you know, causing mayhem, murdering people. And the whole thing's got kind of this B-movie schlock to it. And she realizes, she keeps on finding out that she thinks it's an imaginary friend named Gabriel who she has a kid. And then you find out Gabriel is actually this tumor that had its own life and was actually like her twin brother that these doctors subdued in the 90s. And it's living in her brain. And at the end of the movie, it takes full control and splits open the back of her skull. And that's how Gabriel got woken up, is her husband smashing her head in the wall. And so she's literally had a cracked skull this entire movie and been fine, which that doesn't really make any sense. But at the end of the movie, there's a scene where she's in jail because they know she's involved with it. And it's literally like an 80s horror movie. There's like a woman with an afro. There's some white trash woman. They're the most loud characters you could ever imagine. And then she just rips the back of her skull open and a face comes out of her brain. And then she walks backwards and first like kills everyone in the jail cell, has a Matrix style fight in the police station, and then runs out backwards with her brain face to the hospital where she was like captured while everyone chases her down. Yes, that is the movie. I mean, you're either going to love it.
$1 for this.
Yes, so you're going to hate it.
That sounds like the dark half
hilarious
meets the Cassandra Nova story from New X-Men.
Yeah. To me, it's clearly a comedy. Like, if you take it as comedy value, it's hilarious. I mean, there's no way James Wan made this seriously. I think he was just like, are they going to let me make a $40 million basket case, which is an old movie from the 80s? Yeah. And Warner Brothers obviously did not have much control over it. They were just like, all right, yeah, we know you're good. You made the Conjuring movies. You made Aquaman. We could trust you. Yeah, but you should watch it if you like old B movies or like Cronenberg or like George Hickenlooper or Luder. I was for his last name, the guy who did Basket Case. I found it pretty enjoyable, but that's it for me. We got our Dan Waters and Alex Pacnadel double feature starting next week with Assassin's Creed and Arcadia. And then the week after that, we do have Elle coming on for Limbo and Turncoat. And then after that, we have our 2 weeks of Waters and Pacnadel actually coming on the show, which is exciting to talk about future projects and Arkham City. And yeah, that'll lead us into Recommender and the rest of our year.
Nice. Well, I'm happy that we read all these great books, but I'll be sad to see Fraction go.
Yeah, I will too.
We need to revisit them in the future. Cover
definitely the funniest
things,
writer we've covered.
Yeah. Had a lot of fun rereading these guys.
Me too. It was a pleasant experience.
Beautiful chaos each time.
Well, as always, thank you for listening. I am Michael, also known as Poet Air. You can find me on Twitter at Poet Air 33. You can find the show at Outside Though with a zero. And then where can they find you guys?
You can find me on Twitter at Chaz Simons.
And you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at @Sin_Aesthetics with an X, or on Spotify and stuff as Sinesthetic.
And this Friday, which I think is today, you should check out Pink Buzz on YouTube. I'm going to be on there with the boys, and we're going to be talking about evil technology books, which will be a lot of fun, or technology gone bad. And it's going to be fun to kind of reunite with Johnny and all of them and be on YouTube. I'm not used to being on video, but I'm excited. Check it out. All right, Chaz.
Turn the page. Wash your hands.
Outside the pages.